B-Pod Studios.
Another episode of Checkpoint Daily. I am your host, Norris Howard. We hope that everybody is enjoying this wonderful hump day. You are almost through with the week, y'all. We are almost there. We nearly made it. But we, first of all, before we get into anything we're talking about today, Chad, how are you today?
I'm tired.
I can tell.
It's a Wednesday.
I don't know. I haven't slept well lately, so I'm trying. I'm going to pretend to be awake, y'all. So
Chad's got a case of the Mondays.
I have a case of the Mondays on a Wednesday. But yeah, I'm gonna amp up the energy. Amp it up.
Well,
scream.
you have a massive cup of coffee.
This is water.
That's sad. It should be coffee.
I had coffee on the way in, so I'll be there eventually.
All right, cool.
We're starting off talking about Dead by Daylight. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll get it. Callie, how are you? We are quickly approaching the nuptial date.
Oh God, 48 hours. Oh God. Please be nice weather. Oh God, it's gonna be horrible.
So you are having a Renaissance fair themed ceremony.
Yes.
Would it be on brand if I dressed as a bandit and raided it?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be on brand.
All right, bet. So expect that.
All right. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, that'd be
greatly,
great.
Greatly, actually.
That'd be great.
Sarah might stab you. Just a warning. But I'll be like, she'll be stabbing you, and I'll be in the background like, this is the best wedding I've ever had.
It's a risk I'm willing to take.
Oh, I love it.
And besides, Sarah's super short. I'll just hop over her. Anyway.
I mean, you might be able to.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Either way.
You got ups?
Yeah.
All right, then. Yeah, you probably can.
I do. You know what I'm saying? My vertical is ridiculous. And you got a hoop back there anyway, so.
That's true.
Double true. But with that said, here is what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, Chad, we're actually going to have you lead it off today because it's Dead by Daylight and the Halloween event is here.
Okay, so, yeah. It's Dead by Daylight season.
If there's two things in this world that Chad loves, it's Dead by Daylight and Halloween season.
Oh, you have no idea.
Like, no, we do. We were here last year for it.
Not only were we here last year, literally everything you have suggested that we talk about revolves around scary games or Dead by Daylight.
I'm just saying. Well, to be fair, one of the best times I had last year was having the game director, Matthew Cote, on stream with us.
Yeah.
So
he's a nice guy.
He's a great guy and a great game. But essentially, they're doing the Hallowed Blight event, which is essentially their Halloween event that they put on. It starts today, and guess what?
Do you get stuff?
Yes, you get stuff. So essentially what it is they have a new character, which was actually just recently put in, called the Blight. Mm-hmm. And essentially he goes in, and he's kind of juicing himself up with this kind of weird...
So he's Bane.
Yes, I'm hearing Bane.
He's Bane.
He's not Bane, but he's more like he's kind of decaying. So his face is kind of like disgusting. And
zombie
he's, like,
Bane.
He's
like
out.
A splicer.
Yeah, but there's like this orange goo that kind of like corrupts all the monsters and all the villains. And
drippy
and
zombie Bane.
Drippy zombie Bane. But the nice thing about the Blight events is that you can get all the outfits. They do it different characters each year. Mm-hmm. And this year they're doing Ghostface outfit.
Awesome.
Which looks cool. The mask is all like melty onto his cape, I guess. I don't know what the hell. What do you call that?
His shirt outfit. His shawl.
The Legion, which is actually four characters. They're all amalgamated into one character. So there's like hands
amalgamated.
Just like all in one. And then the Blight, the true Blight, which is truly disgusting. And then the three of the characters, the survivors, will have kind of like steampunky kind of looks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great. I'm super
excited.
These
are just basically like premium skin that you can get through the event.
Yeah, they call it the Rift, so it's essentially that like that pay to play kind of idea where you get stuff throughout it. I'm assuming
you like buy the season pass, but what do they call those?
That's essentially the season pass.
Exactly. You buy the event pass, and then if you play enough during that event,
it's
pass,
like
you
how League
items.
Does it.
Yeah,
you get the event pass, and then you can get the currency.
The system Fortnite made famous.
Right.
Yes,
I mean it is what it is, and it's fun. It's just something to do. It's going in. now until November 3rd, so you have plenty of time if you're a fan. Or if you've never played before, I suggest picking up the base pack. It's always on sale. I don't know if it's on sale right now, but it's base pack, $20. Can't beat that. So go for it.
I mean, and it's like there is no more appropriate time to play Dead by Daylight than like right now.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I may check it out. I may check it out with the fiance because she's been wanting. She's like, I want to watch a scary movie, but not something too scary because
Cabin in the Woods.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good
watch
one.
That one.
Yeah, it's probably watch movie. Cabin
it's
in the Woods.
It's a great movie, and it's not too scary.
Yeah. I'm weird. I'd be like, yeah, you want to watch I Spit on Your Grave or something? And she's just like, no.
Want to watch your rape revenge she's flick? Like, what?
But it's crazy.
It is
insane,
crazy. I agree.
That movie.
Okay, Norris is getting home like, hey, hon, you want to watch Last House on the Left? And she's like, no, you weirdo.
But she that's says she wants too, to watch something like completely scary, but that's too terrifying. You know what I mean? So it's like, because when people say I want to watch something scary, I go all the way. Or not.
Yeah, way too far.
Yeah,
exactly.
You go way too far or not.
I agree, because I don't, like most people, I don't think like slashers are scary.
Yeah,
like,
so you watch Scream or something.
Yeah.
That's not scary.
That's not scary. Yeah. It's more of a thriller, action-y kind of feel.
Yeah,
I hate when
I'm
people
cool
call
that.
Them scary movies, because I don't truly believe that they are. I think they're a slasher genre. They're their own form of horror.
There's a degree
they're not scary.
Right, there's a degree of campiness that's required to fit into the slasher genre properly.
And that's my favorite stuff. Like, if I'm going to watch a quote-unquote scary movie, I'd much rather watch a slasher film.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, than watch I Spit on Your Grave. You know, or like,
truly
you know,
horrific.
I've got an idea. Let's
Grudge.
Watch Suspiria.
Yeah, like,
that one's just weird.
That
I don't know if that's
really
horror.
Movie.
I mean, I guess it is horror. It is flat out horror. But it's just weird.
I don't want to watch anything that, like, disturbs me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather
watch
that, like,
rattles you to your core.
Yeah, like, no, let's not do that. But anyway, play Dead by Daylight. Chad, when I watch your streams, you seem to be having a great time. And the people you play with seem to have a great time. So I may try it out in earnest and check it out. It's the Halloween season. Might as well play it.
It's definitely a good time. All right, so moving on. Last week it might have been. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? One way or the other, we watched the first Animaniacs trailer. The Jurassic Park Animaniacs trailer. And we talked a lot about it. And one of the, you know, we expressed both some excitement and some concerns for it. Today, the second Animaniacs trailer has dropped that actually has some scenes from the show.
I was going to say, the first one's more, it's not really
it was an
a
announcement.
Trailer, it was more like a teaser.
Yeah, this actually had some scenes from the show. We actually got an idea what the comedy is going to be like. And I got to say, a lot of my concerns are gone.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Well, a lot of my concerns are gone from the sense of, you know, I was worried about how far could they go with the humor? What would they be talking about? Obviously, it signed on for 2 seasons. I think a lot of season one will be, you know, the Warner
the world at large,
the Warner Brothers and sister sort of reacclimating to modern times,
coming back in 2020.
Yeah, coming back in 2020. What's all the stuff they've missed?
Mm-hmm.
How will the Animaniacs sort of react to this new digital world and whatever? I think that stuff is interesting. So you know, you've made sort of a fish out of water. You've turned it into an isekai, basically. Where
kinda.
Yeah, they've transported to a new world that they've never existed in before.
Well, okay, all right. Then this begs the question: how is this any different than when we argued about Monster Hunter, putting them in a whole new world?
the big thing in the way that you make it different is Monster Hunter is not. It's not critiquing that world that they are now a part of, right? Part of what made Animaniacs good, even the first time that it was out, is because it was some of the best satire of pop culture that you had out there, which is why adults liked it and which is why kids liked it too, because as a kid, you almost felt like you were learning a little bit, but as an adult, you knew the joke, you were in on the joke, and you liked it.
I just like that they kept the slapsticky part of it,
yeah,
and I felt like that had to be there. They needed that strength of the slapstick, because that's gonna that was the Animaniacs to me.
And you know, one of my favorite things about Animaniacs, at least in the original, was always like the subtlety. Like there is of course a lot of over the top slapstick comedy, there's also a lot of subtle jokes that you would maybe miss on the first watch through. And just when I was watching that trailer, there's the sequence where she hands him the tablet and then turns it, and it's still like, is the text is still not lined up?
It's
right
not
on the
all
tablet.
The way lined up.
And I'm
yeah.
like, God, that happens to me every time I use a tablet. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. So they do have those like subtle attention to detail jokes, which makes me feel really good.
It is. And you know what? Another thing that I really enjoyed about it is, you know, they highlight Dot a lot more in this, which I think is
the warm sister.
I like that too, because I'm not to say that they didn't. They did a lot of jokes with Dot, I think, mm-hmm. in the original show, but I think they're really pushing the fact that the sister's there too.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. You know, oh, and the sister. It's not just the Warner Brothers.
Well, I mean, that was the joke in the original, though.
Right,
we're the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister.
Yeah, but now I think, you know, the cool part about it is that they will do more with her jokes and pushing her forward, because obviously we have evolved a little bit more.
Right. What does Dot Warner do in the Me Too era?
Exactly.
Right.
And so, like, I think they'll definitely touch on that kind of stuff. And then we saw some stuff from Pinky and the Brain that was really funny.
Yes.
Like, in terms of social media, like
online dating.
Yes. I'm really, really, like, happy to see that, because like,
I can't believe Pinky's dating again. He got over Farfik Newton at last.
I know,
it's crazy.
That's wild. So it's like they have a sequence where Brain makes an Instagram profile and he posts his first picture and he gets a like
and
he's so happy and he pushes the light and he sees that it's just Pinky.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah,
it's like that again. Subtle things like that, where it's like, oh my God, I hate that moment where you like you post something you're proud of and you check the likes and it's like, your
well.
Two best friends.
Yeah, and it's
and
like
that's
it's like
it. You're
two,
like, okay.
It's like your two best friends, your girlfriend and your mom.
Yeah.
And you're just like, aw.
And your mom just comments, okay. I don't know what this is.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Looking handsome.
My grandma. If I ever post anything, it's always looking handsome.
Yeah.
Thanks,
so,
Grandma.
I'm looking forward to the Animaniacs. It'll be really cool to see how they critique, you know, this 21st century world.
All right, so last thing we need to hit on is yesterday we went back to the polls to talk about
that is right.
Who should be the gaming Secretary of State. So, Norris, you want to take us through what the poll results look
that
like?
Is right. So when we talked about it, we had three candidates for Secretary of State, the number one foreign policy official of the U.S., and we had three candidates for that position. We had Princess Zelda, who is, you know, well known to be an advocate of peace,
Labor Party,
and togetherness from the Labor Party. Also, is not a perfect candidate; has her own issues. I'm not feeling the whole dress up thing. You know, I don't like that. I don't like the whole Sheikah dress up thing.
See, I don't mind the gender bending. That's fine. We live in 2020.
That's cool.
That's cool. A little cultural appropriation.
Exactly.
It's a little concerning.
Exactly. And then we also had Big Boss, also known as Naked Snake,
mm-hmm.
from the
Naked
Metal Gear. Yeah, Naked Snake.
I can see why he chooses to go by Big Boss.
Yeah, me too.
A little bit.
From the Metal Gear Solid series. And he, you know, very militaristic.
Hawkish.
Yeah, hawkish. Not sure, again, if he is alive or dead. Very
that said,
weird.
Probably no one's going to mess with him.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Commands respect. That's the big thing. And we have the Prince of All Cosmos from the Ball Party.
Which, of course, Chad voted for.
Yeah, Chad voted for the Ball Party. And literally his only platform was he will roll all of humanity up into a giant ball. And
I'm here for it.
Okay, so who's our who's the Secretary of State?
With 53% of the vote.
Oh, my gosh.
Princess Zelda is our Secretary of State.
All right. Well,
by the way, the Prince of All Cosmos does have more votes than Big Boss.
By 2%, yeah.
Okay, and we just, this is coming in as late breaking news. Princess Zelda is claiming she is 1/16th Sheikah.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So we'll find out. I don't know how that's going to go over.
Oh, we got to get
we got to get
the ancestry folks. we got to get the 23andMe people on this one.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because I am not sure about this one. Just as long as Donald Trump doesn't call her Impa.
Oh.
Anyway, that's good. That's going to be it for that. We will be right back with more Checkpoint Daily, where we talk about Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her stream of Among Us last night that took Twitch by storm. So stick around. We got more for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Join in on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and Marvel alumni Ben Morris team up to bring you the best and worst comic book opinions. From ranking the best live-action Batman to bringing you the essentials on heroes like Spider-Man, discover a whole new world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. You can download at CheckpointXP.com or from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you find your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. I'm Norris Howard, if you didn't know already. Chad Callahan to my left, Callie Sloan to my right. And on top of that, we got some gaming stuff to talk about. One of the biggest events in all of Twitch, literally. One of the biggest events in all of Twitch went down last night. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know what rock you were underneath, but AOC, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Your future wife if it doesn't work out with LaTosha.
Listen, man, it's a shot I'm willing to take. All right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't shoot your shot, why not, right?
You know, but she streamed to Twitch last night playing a bit of Among Us with only the biggest streamers on the entire platform.
God, yeah. Well, not even just in the platform, but for the game currently.
Yeah.
Like, there's some streamers who just recently got, I won't say just recently get popular, but more popular. Like,
right.
Corpse Husband is mm-hmm. well-known. One, I'd never heard of him before. His voice is so deep, it cuts to my soul in good ways and bad. I don't know how I feel about it. It gives me a little weird chills, but.
haven't felt that way since 8th grade.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, right when voices started cracking? Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. But yeah, she also streamed alongside Dr. Lupo,
yep.
Pokimane, and also fellow Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
And her daughter.
Yes.
Oh my God, amazing.
And the crazy part about it is, before we get into what it means for gaming and all that stuff, who knew Ilhan Omar was lights out at Among Us?
Hold on. She went from 0 to 60. She became the imposter one round, couldn't do anything. Got out. It was like not even 3 rounds later, she was imposter again. No one suspected her. Murdered 4 people. With some of the best Among Us players that we know of right now.
I feel like there's a joke to be made about a politician being really good at lying, but like, yeah, it was wild watching like two congresswomen playing on Twitch.
And they get into a fight.
I know. I don't want it to be like tapping on the fishbowl, you know, but at the same time, it was surreal to see it and to kind of be like, listen, since I've been 18 years old, my first election, I've had to listen to people go, oh, the youth movement in politics, and kind of like go like, sure, kind of.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the polls, it's me and a bunch of old people. But sure, I guess. I feel like this is actually a step towards the youth movement in politics.
Well,
something real.
But here's the biggest thing, right? There was a lot of stuff. I remember this in 08. There was a thing about Obama that he felt so authentic. Yeah. That was the thing. And to be fair, even though he lies, I understand why people say when he first came out that Trump felt authentic. Like,
yeah,
he felt
sure.
like he talked to people on their level. But with Obama, you felt like he listens to rap not because he thinks young people listen to rap, but because he actually listens to rap. He plays basketball not because he thinks young people play basketball, but because he actually plays basketball. So it was this very authentic moment with AOC and the stream that felt like this is not somebody stepping into a community to talk to that community. This is somebody of that community.
Yeah, someone who's a part of this community.
A part of that community that is merely using their platform to encourage people to vote, which I think is amazing. And I think the funniest part about it And the coolest part about it is that it didn't feel forced.
No, it felt fun.
Yeah.
There's two things from it that will kind of made me feel, all right, this is a little weird or that was funny. The first one was kind of when they first started, you could tell the streamers really didn't want to kill her or vote her out.
Right. They didn't want to go too hard on her.
That quickly changed. Yeah, after sure Ilhan, did. I feel like Ilhan, I'm glad she brought her in there.
Yeah.
Because it made it feel like it was more of, okay, there's the humanization that we talked about yesterday. It brought that kind of humanization, like, and they started arguing with each other. And then that's when the other streamers were like, okay, yeah, she's a normal person.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like it really got kicked off by like Lupo in that first game. Because Lupo was like, listen, I'm calling the emergency meeting. It's AOC. I know it. I love you. I'm sorry. I respect you.
I'm risking my job. I'm risking my career. That's
It is you.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hilarious and it's cool because Lupo also streamed with Sasha Baron Cohen as Borat earlier that day, and that stream sucked. I hated it. I only saw clips,
and if those were the funniest parts, it felt very forced. It felt very uncomfortable. It didn't feel like a conversation because Borat, even in the movies, it doesn't feel like conversation. It feels like a stage setup, and it is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this felt like, but without having a lot of random people part of the joke. It was just him.
Exactly.
And that's the
part of this that continued to feel good. And I mean, for me, if I'm Twitch, right, and I'm looking at this and I said, wait a minute, we just got 500,000 people to our platform who just got served, you know, they got served ads.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever.
The second most viewed event ever on Twitch.
So
it's the third most individual stream.
Yeah.
But if you combine all the other additional
second
streamers,
only to the Ninja Drake thing, I believe, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so taking all that into account, first of all, by picking Among Us, it's on brand because we're talking about voting and you have a game built around a vote system. So that's really smart. But I think looking into the future, part of, you know, and Callie, what you said was so poignant. You go to the polls physically and you see a bunch of old people.
Yep.
Right? You don't see, outside of 08, when Obama his first term, that was the only time I seen copious amounts of young people at the polls. But I think what you have here is a real opportunity, not necessarily to just reach out to the youth vote, but to keep millennials from becoming apathetic.
Yeah.
That's the key, right? Because we saw in 2016, how many people didn't vote because they were apathetic? They felt like they're not, you know, this system is not talking to me. These people don't care about what I care about.
Yeah.
I don't see myself reflected in the legislature, that
stuff. How many years have we heard the phrase, this seems like someone I could get a beer with, right? Like that. Yeah. Like we hear that all the time as like the standard for relatability. I'm telling you, though, this is the beginning of, in 10 years, it being, this feels
I'll
like someone
watch
I could
stream.
No, I could play Among Us with them.
Yeah.
I could play a game with them.
Yeah.
That is where it's going. I'm sorry. Our generation did not give up gaming when we hit college. Sorry, Gen X. We know you gave up on your dreams.
Well, there's more people who play video games than drink right now.
I believe that. Absolutely.
Like, and so, you know, when you talk about just how important video games are to the average American, right? Mm-hmm. Which now we used to think the average American was like our parents. It's not. The average American is us now.
Fun.
When you think about the average American, video games are like a cornerstone of how we plan our lives. And when you take somebody who comes from that culture, who comes from that way of thinking, that's how you really engage folks. I think this was not only smart, I think it was a lens into really looking at who is going to be dictating the course of American politics for the next decade.
That woman's going to run for president in 4 years' time.
Absolutely.
I believe she will.
Well, I'll
say
this.
She might wait one more term.
I'll say this. I don't think she'll run for president, but I do think that if she stays in the House, she'll eventually be Speaker of the House. Or if she ran for Senate, she would win. I don't think she could win a presidency. She's She's too polarizing right now.
Do you think she goes...
Maybe in time she might.
Do you think she goes towards the Senate? Oh, here we go. Three options for her career future. Does she go to the Senate? Does she stay in the House to try to become Speaker? Does she accept a cabinet position?
I think you don't give her a cabinet position yet. I think... Not that that's too big... But I think you don't want a cabinet position to command that much attention. You want a cabinet position to be people who can...
To be forgotten.
Low-key, who could kind of shut up and go do their job.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's what they're there to do, right? She's a little bit too dynamic to do that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think Speaker of the House is great.
Does she go for a governorship?
No.
No?
No. Okay. I don't think... I think she's awesome, but I don't know if she's ready to be executive.
Interesting.
But the point of the matter is that we are to a point now where in the next 5 years, 6 years, Congress will be mostly gamers.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Like, the House is getting younger.
Yes. America. Think about
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
So in America, the vast majority of our legislature in the next few years will be made up of mostly people who play video games in their spare time.
Goodbye, SOPA.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. And that part, and Chad, me and you talked about this before we went on air. When you think about it, that is where we can start talking about really important stuff like net neutrality, like, you know, SOPA, like, you know, all this kind of stuff that people low-key forgot about because now we're dealing with something.
One dumpster fire after another.
Exactly.
Now we're dealing with literal end times.
Yeah. Or, you know, even the concept that, you know, the Justice Department is trying to break up Google as a monopoly. All this kind of crazy stuff that's happening. But if you look in the next 10 years, I think if things continue the way they continue, this country will be in a very different place. It will look different.
Yeah. I think every generation has that shift.
Yeah, and video games will be a massive, massive part of that in the same way that baseball was for the generation before us.
You know,
we forget Bush actually owned a baseball team.
I truly just feel like that event yesterday was like the opening salvo of an actual generational shift in politics.
I agree.
There was one part of that, and I don't know if it slipped under everybody's radar, but she said one thing that kind of made me laugh, because I don't know if it was like...
Didn't make me laugh, but she said trans rights, and I was pretty thrilled about that.
She did say that, but that was more open than that but it was one of these just things that she just mentions casually, is when Pokimane, she's killing people, obviously, and AOC knows this because she's watching as a ghost. And at one point, she's like, oh, Pokimane, she's really good at lying. She's like a professional. Like, she kept saying, she's like a professional. And I'm like, politician? Oh, where are you going with this? And she didn't really specify what she was referencing. And I just thought that was such a thing that for her to say that.
Yeah.
And she's such a professional. I was like, in what regard?
Yeah.
Like, as a streamer
it takes one to know one. but, you know, listen, guys, how did you feel about the stream? We want to hear from you guys, whether you're in our chat during our Twitch stream every Wednesday, twitch.tv/checkpointxp, or on social media, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Let us know how you felt about it. Were you excited? Did you like it? Did you think it was dumb? I'm pretty sure there are some people out there who thought, why are we doing this? This is a massive waste of time. Let us know. We want to hear all opinions. But with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We want you guys to return here tomorrow, where we will have a fresh episode for you. And on Friday, as always, I am Norris Howard. To my right is Callie Sloan. To my left is Chad Callahan. We hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.